And you're very welcome back to Lifeline. Delighted to say I'm joined once again in studio with Jennifer Wilson O'Reilly. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
You're very welcome. And it's week three this week, but we're going to be talking about what happened last week on week two. So, Jennifer, you're joining us from Beaumont Hospital. This is to talk about the six-week stress control class that are taking place every Tuesday evening.
Yep.
For 6 weeks free of charge.
Yep.
Now, last week, bring us through what you spoke about last week for people who couldn't attend.
Oh, yeah. So people might remember that the very first week, which was 2 weeks ago, was covering the kind of the model. It was like all the stuff that we're going to be talking about for the 6 weeks. And it looked at kind of how we can get ourselves into a vicious cycle of, you know, thinking difficult thoughts, feeling difficult feelings, having difficult experiences in our bodies, behaving in ways that actually make things a little bit worse, you know, that kind of cycle, and not paying attention to our well-being. So that was the first week, and that was the overview. Now, last Tuesday, we focused on the part of that concerned with the body's reactions. So we looked at how people's body experiences can both be a consequence of their stress, but also feed into their stress, can kind of make the whole thing worse. But I do want to also say that we had way more people this past Tuesday than we did the week before.
Great.
Yeah, so we had around 70 people turned up.
Really good.
Yeah, which is terrific.
And take us through what how stress does affect our bodies. We know we have to fight or flight in us all, and it should be used. It's good to have it, but not all of the time. That's when it gets to the point where we're dealing with too much stress.
Yeah, right. I mean, when you think about the fight or flight response, that's your autonomic nervous system. So that's like hardwired into our bodies. And like we talked about last week, that's meant to keep us safe. And we're super lucky we've got it. But that autonomic nervous system is broken into two parts. There's your sympathetic nervous system, which is the part that gets you into that fight or flight response, that really rapid moving safety risk threat conscious part of who we are, you know, that really deep down stress reaction piece. And then the other part of the autonomic nervous system is your parasympathetic nervous system, which is the part that calms you down, that brings you back to your baseline. And that isn't as nearly as fast as we can all attend. You know, when we have a near miss in the car, when we have a fright, even if it goes away immediately, whatever's causing the initial fright, we all know the experience that it actually takes us about 15 to 20 minutes to calm down physically from
it. Yeah. You know, when you get a fright like that near accident, and you get that sudden rapid heart rate, and you feel, oh my God, you know, it's really, really something. It's a horrible feeling because, you know, you feel, oh God, it's just going to, something worse is going to happen to you.
Yeah.
But does it get to a point where it can't really get much worse and it has to kind of come down?
Yes, exactly. It's like it peaks and then there's nowhere for it to go, even though, you know, our thoughts might be telling us, oh, you know, I'm going to have a heart attack or I'm going to pass out or whatever. It really just goes up to a certain point. And then provided we're engaged in that parasympathetic nervous system, provided we're allowing ourselves to kind of come down from it, there's only one way for it to go, which is to relax more or to release more. And my colleague, Oren McCarthy, who is actually running one of these in the community as well, and he's helping me out at Beaumont, he made the, he had a really good metaphor for it, which is when you think about, like, say, doing, making a muscle with your arm, pulling your fist up, that's part of your body working to tighten the muscle in your bicep. But your bicep doesn't stretch out again all by itself. It needs a whole different system. I don't know, what is that, the tricep at the back of your we need a physio in here to pull it down, to release the tension in the bicep. And I thought, actually, that's a really good metaphor because the fight or flight response is only half of our process. The other process is calming us down. You know?
And has everyone got that in themselves to calm down? Like, if people are listening here this morning and saying, I suffer really bad with stress, panic attacks and whatever, and I feel sometimes I'm going to lose control completely. Am I going to go mad? Am I going to pass out? Am I going to stop breathing? Do we all have it in us to say, no, it's going to get better. It's going to stop.
In the same way that we all have that fight or flight response, we all have the ability to calm down, you know, to come back to our baseline, that relaxation response. And that's what the focus of week two was on, was like, first of all, acknowledging that everybody's got that fight or flight and that it's actually terrifying or can be when that happens. And then secondly, making sure that we're not making it worse with exactly what you're describing, those kind of perpetuating thoughts of, oh my gosh, you know, this is definitely going to be the one. This is the big one. We've all had those thoughts. But actually, that can be another trigger for another fight or flight response. So that was the first part, was really normalizing that for everybody. Mm. And you describe what people at home might be feeling. And it's just so common. And so that's the first thing, is to kind of let ourselves off the hook. But then the second part was like, then what? Like, how can we begin to train that relaxation response?
Okay, so tell us, how can we do that?
So the focus of week two, the second part, was on looking at how we can support our bodies in that relaxation response. So the first part, well, the first two things people might not be happy to hear about, and the first one was caffeine. All right, okay. So we all kind of, well, not all of us. Some people are extremely noble and good and don't use caffeine, but many of us might indulge in a cup of coffee or something early, you know, early in the day to kind of get ourselves going. And caffeine can be really helpful in that way. But the symptoms of having too much caffeine in our system pretty much mirror the symptoms of anxiety. So if we're taking more caffeine into our bodies, that actually can set us up for feeling more anxious through the day.
Even if you just have one cup of, in the morning, or one cup a day?
Well, you know, people have different levels of sensitivity. And there are some recommendations around, you know, I think it's like something like 2 cups of coffee. And I think that equates to something like 3 or 4 cups of tea, you know, because there's different amounts of caffeine. And also, you know, the caffeine in the coffee that you make at home is very different than the amount of caffeine, say, in a coffee that you get in a coffee shop. They tend to be stronger.
Yeah.
And of course, there's caffeine in chocolate. That was not well received on the course.
Not at all.
And then, of course, the caffeine drinks, you know, the energy drinks that people take.
Them energy drinks, I just don't agree. I don't let any of my children take any of them. I've just heard bad reports. There just seems to be so much caffeine in them that it races.
Yeah.
I mean, we hear of people having, you know, hyperventilating and panic attacks from drinking these caffeine drinks.
And that's just a really good example. It's like it kind of just gins up our engines that much more, that makes it more likely that we could experience anxiety. But also just, you know, the very simple thing I said before, the symptoms of having too much caffeine are very similar to the body symptoms of having too much anxiety. Yeah. And so that was the first part of the message, was like, look at your caffeine intake. And one of the things that Oren said that I should restate here is, you don't want to, like, if you're a high caffeine intake person, you don't want to just cut it off cold turkey. You want to step it down.
Okay.
Because you can have symptoms from giving up caffeine too. So you need to be careful about that. So that was the first part. The second part, again, you know, might not be a super welcome message, but it was around exercise. So sometimes, you know, even that word exercise can be very off-putting. But if you think about physical activity or movement, you know, when you think about anxiety, when you think about stress, we just cannot forget that our bodies are involved in the whole thing. And so in the same way that we try and talk ourselves down, or say we might talk to a friend and the friend might try and reassure us, we need to be thinking, okay, that's treating my thoughts, but how am I treating my body?
Mm.
And exercise or physical movement, they're, you know, the research around how that helps people with anxiety is just phenomenal. Like, there's no debate, really.
Even the walk, a brisk walk?
Especially something like a brisk walk. So what you're looking for is kind of moderate. I mean, the HSC guidelines are like moderate activity, which means for 30 minutes, 5 days a week, right? Moderate is different for everybody, but the way to tell if you're exercising or moving at a moderate kind of level is if you feel a little bit warmer, but you can still talk while you're doing it.
Okay, you're not overexerting
yourself. Yeah, or even sing, like Oren was saying. We should all be leaving the course and singing on our way home. So those are ways of telling that you're doing
simple
well.
Enough, really. If you can fit 30 minutes in 5 days a week, not overexertion, but just
moderate.
And that should kind of be, you don't have to go join in a gym and spend a big money. If you can just go out there and do a little bit of walking, that's okay. Cut down on the caffeine. do a brisk walk 30 minutes a day. Okay, so
yeah.
I should be anxiety free.
And just before we move on from the exercise piece, just, you know, the best way to do exercise is to actually do something that you enjoy.
Yeah.
So maybe spending a little bit of time thinking, like, what do I particularly like? For me, I'm not a great walker, but I do like to cycle. So I build in a cycle back and forth to work, and that's my 30 minutes done for the day. But if you ask me to jog or walk, I don't know where I'd fit it in. You know, so to really think about what you yourself might enjoy doing and how to fit it in. So, yeah, so we've got the caffeine, we've got the physical activity. And then the other piece was on training the relaxation response. So we did a little bit on breathing, okay, belly breathing. Sometimes people call it diaphragmatic breathing. We did a little bit on that, and we practiced it on the course. And then we also talked about something called progressive muscle relaxation. And that is an exercise where you go through your whole body. You can start at your head or your toes, and you tighten up your muscles a little bit at a time, really tight, and then release them. And what you're doing there is you're kind of training yourself to notice the difference between a very tense muscle and a nice relaxed muscle. So, I mean, there's a lot out there around relaxation and visualization and all those kinds of things, but progressive muscle relaxation has super good research behind it.
So you'd start probably from your shoulders. How could you start from your head?
You could tighten up your face. I'm doing it. Thank goodness people can't see me. But you can tighten up the muscles in your face, or you can tighten your jaw muscles, you know, and just, you really want to feel the tension, and then just give it a second and then release it and notice the difference between the really tense and the more relaxed. So we gave people out, on Tuesday, we gave them a CD with breathing exercise or that progressive muscle relaxation exercise. There's a couple other things on it. And now CDs, you know, most of us don't have CD players anymore.
I know.
But there is, if you go on to SoundCloud, your listeners are probably familiar with SoundCloud, and you just search stress control, they'll come up there for free.
And what if somebody says, I just can't switch off? We've done a lot on stress on Lifeline, and I had a lady here one time and said, I went for relaxation yoga and was told to do the breathing, you know, exercise. Yeah. But the more they were telling me to do it, the worse it was making me feel, because she felt she couldn't do the breathing exercises. She was hyperventilating when she was told to breathe a certain way.
Yes.
So that didn't work for her. So how can it work for everybody? If this breathing exercise wasn't making her feel relaxed, but in time would it have if she gave it a few weeks, I wonder?
You know, I can speak about the stress control, you know, and what they talk about, but then I also, of course, would have a clinical practice in my work. And I find that, you know, sometimes when people are very tense or very anxious and you ask them to think about their breathing, it can actually be really difficult for them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think, you know, getting a little bit of extra training with that, getting some help with it, trying different breathing exercises can be good. The flip side of that is that sometimes when people find it very anxiety provoking to focus on their breathing, they give up quickly, because it's like it hits that whole kind of avoidance of, I don't want to make myself worse, you know, and so they kind of pull back from it. And so in those situations, I do try to encourage people to try it, you know, and to try and stick with it, because their thoughts are telling them, I can't do this, it's making me worse or whatever. But actually, when they keep trying, sometimes those thoughts can get weaker.
So it's really changing the way you think, really, isn't it? Kind of training your brain to think it is going to get better. If you can train your brain to think that way, maybe it would work quicker.
Well, yeah, Debbie, and like, I mean, what you're describing there is the relationship between the body and thinking, you know? And so it's like we have a sensation in our bodies, and then we interpret it through our thinking, and that can either make it a little bit easier for us or feed that stress cycle. You know, that's exactly what you're describing. So both things are true. Sometimes people need a little extra help with their breathing, but also they shouldn't give up, because it's a really great way in. Now, with the stress control, that's what we did too, right? So you got the breathing, but then you've got this progressive muscle relaxation. And for people that find the breathing part a little bit tricky, they might go in through a different kind of relaxation exercise, like progressive muscle relaxation.
And that will help them just as well.
Oh, yeah, that'll help them. And that it might actually really make it easier for them to then do the breathing.
Sounds really, really interesting. So that came all about last Tuesday.
Last Tuesday was all about the body. And we have handouts for people who weren't able to make it. So if you want to come along tonight, you can get the handouts and the CD from last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, great.
Okay, so you haven't missed out on your CD. And it's great to have that. Just take a few minutes, half an hour to yourself, and just try and do that relaxation.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, what Oren was talking about was with something like a relaxation exercise, you shouldn't necessarily have an expectation that the first time you do it, you're awesome at it and you're super relaxed.
Yeah.
You should kind of commit to doing it for about a month before you have a real sense of, you know, every day for a month, before you have a real sense of, you know, is this working for me?
Yeah. Would you recommend people to do that once a day?
I would, definitely, yeah. Yeah, particularly if they're new to it. I mean, the idea is that you train yourself to be able to get better at it. And so then you can do it quicker and you can do it without guidance.
And then we wouldn't, if everyone kind of took that half hour out a day to kind of practice, you know, a little bit of a self-care.
All our marriages would be better.
Yeah, you might not have as many stressed people walking around, but that's
traffic would improve.
Yeah, really interesting. So what's happening tonight?
Okay, so we're still on that wheel of different kinds, different elements of the stress cycle, and tonight it's all about thoughts. So it's working with thinking. And, you know, that came up already in our discussion, you know, these thoughts that we can have. And so we're going to look at different tools for managing thinking. There's like a tool for stepping back, and then there's a tool for challenging thoughts. And we're going to be working on, so it's all about thinking tonight.
Thinking and thoughts, great.
Yeah.
So once again, to remind listeners about the course that's taking place in Beaumont Hospital, it's 6 weeks. This is the third week.
Yep, but if you haven't come before, you're very welcome
You're
to come
still
tonight.
Very welcome to come along tonight, even though it's the third week. You haven't missed much because you'll get your CD tonight and the leaflet. And it's free of charge, which is great. And it's, what time is it again?
It's six to seven thirty.
An hour and a half.
So and there's a tiny break in the middle, so people can get a breather.
So just go along, go into the main entrance in Beaumont Hospital and take a left.
Perfect.
And ask, and people will come in. But listen, thanks a million for coming in again and talking to us about last week. So next week, hopefully, you'll be able to join us again, tell us what's going to go on tonight and how it went.
Terrific. Thanks so much.
Great, Jennifer. Thanks a million for coming in and talking to us.